Okay. Thank you very much for your patience. And thank you, commissioners, for being here. This meeting of the San Francisco Ethics Commission is called to order. I will call the roll. Commissioner Gusakuma?
Present.
Commissioner Ward?
Here.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Harriman is in trial, and Commissioner Hansen was unexpectedly unable to be with us due to a last-minute emergency. Three is a quorum. Both are excused absences, and we will proceed with the meeting. First item of business is public comment on matters appearing and not appearing before the commission. Would anyone like to speak? Thank you very much, Mr. Yee.
Good afternoon. I understand that the commission has postponed consideration of proposed regulations regarding sunshine complaints, and in a way this is a good thing. It gives us all a little bit more chance to weigh with a bit more thoroughness what's out there. And the task force has not taken any position on the regulations as proposed, so what I have to say here is strictly an expression of my own views. I think there is a consensus that the regulations as put down are as good as far as they go, and it's not really not far enough. I personally would like to see kind of a separate set of regulations dealing with sunshine. It would be a bit more extensive than what you have down there. For one thing, they should take into account the various ways in which sunshine complaints reach the commission and reach the staff. And I want to make reference here to a memorandum that the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force received on May 20th. I have a copy with me, and what I would like to see is the staff take this copy and distribute it to the commissioners and to the others on the staff, because I think that they might be helpful in shaping what you have.
We can certainly do that. Thank you.
Okay. In the meeting that took place several weeks ago between your commission and the Compliance and Amendments Commission of the Task Force, one thing that Mr. Sancor mentioned is that there is no way to find anything other than willful violation or no willful violation, nothing in between. When the task force sends you a case, it is because we have found willful violation. So you have willful violation going in, at least from the task force's perspective. However, you may decide, and I think there is some discretion here on the part of the on the part of the commission. Maybe the respondent would come to you with some extenuating or mitigating circumstances that the person had not presented to us on the task force, and you made it decide, well, okay, this is a violation, but it doesn't go willful. So, you know, maybe we'll find a technical violation and send a warning letter to the respondent. I think that's within your purview to do. Another area is often when you turn back a finding of willful violation that the task force has sent you, you often cite that the respondent has given city attorney advice as legal justification. And indeed it is. However, when the city attorney consistently gives advice that is erroneous or incorrect, the commission should weigh in on that. I understand my time is up.
Why don't you complete that thought?
All right. I think when the city attorney gives erroneous advice consistently, and we have found that to be the case in certain instances, I think the ethics commission should weigh in on this with the city attorney's office. I'm talking particularly about when requesters ask for an electronic record in its native electronic format, and the city attorney consistently has said, well, it's okay to give a PDF, when in fact it's not, under both the Sunshine Ordinance and the California Public Records Office. There are some other things I wanted to tell you, but my time is short, and I will just add one thing. Some of you may know, and some of you may not know, that one of your former colleagues, Joe Lynn, has been in the hospital, seriously ill. And if any of you would like to contact him, he is at the California Pacific Medical Center, Pacific Campus. The address is 2333 Buchanan Street, right at Clay. And the phone number there is 600-6000. I thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you.
Very briefly, just to let Mr. Nee know, the little that deals with sunshine and the proposed regs that we had thought to bring to this meeting, but as you say, have been postponed, is not the beginning and ending of our response to the joint meeting. I've had several conversations with the chair about potential ideas, and we're going to keep talking about those and work them up into a proposal, which we will, of course, share with the Sunshine Task Force before actually moving on them. So we do intend to address those needs that were identified separately from the regs package that's already been published.
Thank you for letting us know about Mr. Lynn. Sorry to hear that. Would anyone else like to make public comment at this point in the meeting? Thank you. We'll move on to item 3, which is consideration of possible amendments to the lobbyist ordinance. As those of you who've been following this know, we have addressed a number of issues over a series of meetings, and the changes that were adopted here have been summarized for you and for us. And we have a brief list of remaining decision items before us tonight. Mr. Sincroyd, is there anything you'd like to say before we do decision items 46 and 47? 46 through 48.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. As is our better practice that we developed, why don't we just take them one at a time, bring before us the decision point, get comments from the commissioners and questions, if any, and then put a motion on the floor if that be the commissioner's interest, and then we'll take public comment on that point, and we'll do each of the three items that way. Is that amenable? So the first one is decision point 46 regarding the relative responsibility, if I may summarize it this way, the relative responsibilities of the executive director and the commission with respect to the amount of late filing fees and discretion to permit waivers.
Well, actually, 46 and 47 are alternate proposals, right?
Right.
So perhaps we should take them together and decide on one or the other.
I'm happy to do it that way. It was sort of presented as 46, and then if we don't adopt that, 47, but I think for discussion purposes, it might be good to hear your thoughts on them. That's fine.
I actually, given the staff's rationale, I don't have that big a problem with approving 46. However, I think 47 covers the possible exception to what seems to be the rule in terms of how serious the violation is, so that it puts a cap on the executive director's discretion to waive a late filing fee, fine. The rule seems to be that these are pretty insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're late by days. But there could be an instance where they're much later. And I know that the current director would never, you know, abuse his authority to waive fines. But I think that I, as a commissioner, would want to have some ability to review a waiver that was more significant than it seems to be, again, the general rule.
Commissioner Guzikoff?
I'm not sure what that, where that leaves us. I'm happy to make the motion that we adopt decision point 47, if that's the direction you're leading. There's only three of us, so we've got to agree. and I'm happy with that. I could probably go either way, but I know that there, at least Commissioner Hansen has issues with waivers, and I obviously am not voting by proxy, but I do want to be mindful of her concerns as well, and so I'm happy to go with 47 unless you have an issue with that, Madam Chair.
I'd like to hear Mr. St. Croix. What I found helpful was the staff analysis and the sort of what would make things parallel to other like-kind things so that we're not creating too many complexities for people to have to follow or for the staff to have to say, okay, is this the kind where under over 500, is this, you know, if there's a neat system that would say this fits with others that are expected to be very small and the executive director has that responsibility, and then there's a whole other set that come to the commission, as we know, that have a different set of principles. Are we doing something that here that has a reasonable crosswalk or opportunity to deal with a real outlier, or are we creating something that would be convoluted for a situation that's unlikely to come up? So I'm also, like you, I think, teetering. I don't think either one is vastly unacceptable or powerfully better. I appreciate the staff's giving us that room to think about it. So
I would suggest, in order to make everyone comfortable on the commission, that perhaps you ought to go with 47. And if it becomes cumbersome to us, then we'll come back to you and say maybe we can change the dollar amount. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's if we're bringing decisions to you, that well, let's just leave
right.
it at that.
Yeah.
Our petty.
Yeah. Right. It seemed like not a good use of our time.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah.
Do I hear someone eager to make a motion?
I'd like to move that we adopt decision point 47.
Second.
Public comment. Could set a world record here. All in favor of adopting decision it's not the decision point, the language expressed in item 47, clarifying the waiver and late fee provisions as provided in decision point 47. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. There were three ayes. Decision point 48. This has to do with a set of conforming and amendments and really eliminating things that are now extraneous in light of other actions that we took. Do the commissioners have any questions or comments on this one?
I just had a question. Just to make, I guess, explicit what I think is implicit. Is there language, and I apologize that I didn't find it, in the actual ordinance that says if you are a campaign consultant that qualifies as a lobbyist, you need to then be submitting reports on a monthly basis? Or are you just leaving it to the campaign consultants to sort of figure that out? Like, oh, I might be a lobbyist, and therefore I'm going to have to submit monthly reports. Something explicit that says that?
The only thing explicit is the definition of what a lobbyist is, and that is an individual under the amendments adopted by the commission, an individual who makes one contact and earns, I believe it's $3,000 over a three-month period to make a lobbying contact. So if a campaign consultant does that, campaign consultant is a lobbyist and would be required to adhere to the lobbyist filing requirements. And that's something that we will make clear in our trainings to lobbyists.
Okay.
And to the campaign consultants.
Yes, when we do that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to for a motion on decision point 48 to make the deletions as provided in our draft.
I'd be happy to move that we adopt the staff proposed deletion of section 2.117C and section 2.117D6. All right.
Second.
Is there public comment on this item? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Please
aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Now, with that, Mr. St. Croix, am I correct that we have completed the set of, at least this round of amendments?
Yes.
We may have.
Now I get to go sell it to the Board of Supervisors.
Well, I want to, this has taken several of our meetings and a great deal of attention, and I want to thank the staff for this comprehensive work and for helping us make the transition each time, both to incorporate comments that we made at the meetings and to summarize for us and the public, including the regulated community, the effect and relationship of these changes. This is very painstaking work and thoughtful. Painstaking. I see a special smile from Ms. Eng, who clearly knows exactly how painstaking it has been, and her colleagues, and we appreciate it. And
this
we
has been
will
the last 2 years of her life. So.
Yes.
And it's probably not easy to sit and listen to us pick over in the way that we mm-hmm. have all this time. So you're to be commended for that as well.
Yes. Patience is definitely an element of position accomplishment here. But thank you. And as I say, thank you also to the people who helped us by attending the meetings and helping us see from their perspective how these would work. We are very mindful of the comments. We realize that there are some elements of this in which we are asking people for more or quicker responses and reporting, because we think that will be helpful in each case to people who are tracking this work and to achieve the purposes that we have in mind. But we will also watch those things and continue to listen with respect to whether the electronic filing system, for example, is as useful and helpful to make that manageable, and whether the public finds value in the things that are generated for their use in understanding these issues. So thank you all for a great deal of work, and we hope that it turns out to have been in a positive cause and useful enough to pass the cost-benefit standard that should apply whenever we impose a burden on people who are regulated by us. So thank you. With that, we move to the minutes of the Commission's regular meeting on May 11th and the minutes of the Joint Task Force on April 24th. If we could look first at the regular meeting minutes for May 11th.
Commissioner Hansen emailed in two minor changes that we'll incorporate.
Okay. Does anybody else have corrections, additions, deletions?
No. Move to adopt the May 11th minutes.
Second.
Public comment? Is there any public comment on the meeting minutes for May 11, 2009? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I said aye, silently. Okay. And the minutes of the meeting between the Ethics Commission and the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. Did Commissioner Hansen have any comments on these? Anyone?
Move to adopt the April 24th minutes.
Second.
Public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We look to you for the Executive Director's report, Mr. Executive Director.
Okay. So the big highlight, of course, is the budget, which as published is as written here and that I notified all of you last week. I'm almost afraid to say these things out loud because I'm afraid something's going to happen. As I understand it, because the SEIU adopted it, it's possible that the budget figures that I gave you will be adjusted again, but the last number that I heard, it would be adjusted upwards $23,000 in our favor. so it may even be slightly more than it is right now. It's likely that we will still lose a position, and I just want to explain, I don't want to go into egregious detail unless you'd like me to, but there's something called attrition savings in every year's budget, where there's an assumption that you will have some vacancy in staff, even for the positions that are filled. So our attrition savings are pegged at $140,000, which is a figure that I have to meet. Now, there are ways that, as it happens, the way the budget process is done, all of our staff members are figured at full salaries and at the highest step they can reach, when in fact, not all of them at the highest step. So there's some savings built in there. If someone does leave and we have a gap in when that position is filled, attrition savings would be achieved there. And then there's a new provision where staff members can take unpaid leave from the city, and we have had some staff do that over the past year, and may happen again. So any and all of these can contribute. If not, I customarily dip into the money set aside for temporary non-permanent staff, and that's where the rest of it comes from. But having said that, I just want to make you aware, ultimately, we will probably lose a staffer in mid-November based on the agreement with the SEIU. But other than that, we'll be able to carry forward with everything else that we have. So that's where we stand now. It really is excellent news for us. You know, we're making some small sacrifices because everyone in the city has to make some. But ultimately, I think we did very well, and I'm hoping that this holds. You may remember that during the course of this year that we had to take mid-year budget cuts because of the economy and expected income going down. So that's always a possibility. But fingers crossed, these are about the numbers that we're going to have to work with, and it's
good. Could
you,
right. Yeah, sure. This might just be a good point to recap the effect on the public finance fund, because as we discussed, there is a way in which the city's situation has affected us,
right,
in a different.
I believe that in the overall budget, and I was going to talk about this as well. Right. That the city has borrowed an additional $2.2 million from the fund. You remember last year, earlier this fiscal year, they borrowed $5 million. They did make the annual deposit of $1.9 million, which is supposed to be made, and there's a promise to restore that funding by 2011. From what I can see, the money that we need for the supervisorial races of 2010, we should have adequate funding for that. But there's going to have to be a restoration of funds the year after that for the next mayor's race. But ultimately, that was handled as a separate deal from this part of the budget. And I don't know in the mayor's published budget where those funds have been reapportioned, but I understand that it's in there.
Didn't we have someone before us from the mayor's office who was requesting to be able to borrow out of?
Right, that was the initial $5 million. The mayor's office, through budget resolutions that have to go through the Board of Supervisors, could have taken that money without the Ethics Commission's approval, but they thought that it was a better approach to have a public hearing about it ahead of time. But ultimately, the Ethics Commission was not prepared to consider that. And so they used other means, and they were able to.
But they took it anyway.
They took it anyway. So it's the same process here. Basically, budget resolutions are laws in their own right, and they supersede prior budget resolutions. But well, you know, they in the past, when they've made let's just call them promises regarding the public finance fund and putting additional funds when necessary, they've kept their word. So the record so far is good on that. And this dates back to when the money for public financing was approved on an annual basis in those years when we had elections, where they would appropriate a certain amount of money based on a formula, and then would guarantee to us that if it wasn't sufficient, that they would have a supplemental appropriation, which is what they had done. So if they say they're going to put the money back by 2011, I certainly hope they will keep their word about that. Any other questions about the budget? Okay. I wanted to highlight one other thing. In the BDR reporting, we did have went to small claims court in the number 13 Bill Barnes and got a judgment against Mr. Barnes. And then someone filed an anonymous whistleblower complaint saying that the amount that we were seeking was $10 too high. So the court decision was vacated. Yeah, because $10 too much. And it was. So unfortunately, we'll have to go through that process again for BDR on our behalf.
I'm just not understanding the whistleblower part. I mean, so that person went to the court? I mean, that person went to the court? I mean, how?
No, they just filed the complaint, which was referred to BDR. Uh-huh. And so they weren't forced to vacate the order.
Oh.
So just so we understand that it's not easy to collect on these, that story is certainly a...
And I have every reason to believe the whistleblower was someone on staff. I think that's everything. Yep.
Any questions or comments from the commissioners?
No.
We take public comment
yeah.
on the executive director's report, don't we? Would anyone from our audience like to comment on this item? No. Anybody? Okay. Items for future meetings. Clearly, we do have some things in the works that will come up at future meetings, follow-up to the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force conversation, and follow-up to the discussion we had at the last meeting with respect to the rules applicable to hearings on the merits before this commission. I would invite commissioners to make any comments that they have on those to the staff so that we can understand whether there's additional work or research or analysis that we would like them to do so that we can bring it to the commission. And we will remind the absent commissioners of that as well. Do the commissioners have any other items for future agendas at this time? Public comment? Thank you.
I need to mail Pillsbury, Winthrop, Shaw, Pittman. I do have one comment that I wanted to make regarding the proposed amendments to the lobbies ordinance, and I think it has to do with decision points 24, 25, and 26, which in the proposed amendments, it deletes the current lobbyist termination section, and it substituted a provision which provides that if you fail to pay the annual fee by February 1st of each year, that failure constitutes a termination of the lobbyist registration. And then the provision goes on to provide that the commission is authorized to establish additional processes for the termination of a lobbyist registration. I'm just not certain, and I just realized this today when I was looking at it, why the commission doesn't wish to include a clear process in the ordinance for terminating your status at a time other than on January 31st. So if you terminate your employment or you just decide you're not going to lobby anymore, there's no provision in the ordinance for terminating your registration. And so I would just suggest that the commission add something for that. And then there's also nothing in there stating what the term of the registration is. I'm assuming the term is when you register through January 31st, but it's just not clear. Thank you.
We'll ask staff to walk back through that and take a look. Thank you. Any other comment? Ms. Mayo, I'm thinking that you did that under the heading of public comment for matters appearing and not appearing, which would be just perfect. Anyone else? Okay. With that, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I have to do general public comment again.
Oh, I did. I said seven. She did it as public comment. Oh. I said, is there anyone else who'd like to speak
under
that?
That's okay. I thought she was speaking under.
No, I'm also making eye contact with the other possible individual. I didn't know that. Is there any, just so that it's on the record. Item seven, is there any public comment on other matters appearing or not appearing on the agenda within the jurisdiction of the Ethics Commission? And thank you very much, Ms. Mayo, for your comments under that heading. Thank you. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
By 7 minutes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the staff.
By 7 minutes, you have beat the record for the shortest meeting.
It was not intentional. I suspect we will make it up somewhere else. It's sort of commissioner flex time. Or maybe we're making